Good evening. I always have the hardest time coming up with a welcome when I get up here. I want to say something that will make everybody feel welcome, but then I usually end up saying the same thing every single time, and it's pretty hard. But I want to welcome everybody, and I want to especially welcome any visitors that we might have tonight. And it's really good to be here. It's really good to be able to talk about God with my family. This evening, I want to talk about Harry Truman, but not the Harry Truman you're thinking about. I want to talk about Harry R. Truman, not Harry S. Truman. Harry R. Truman was a war veteran. He was a World War I veteran. He was an airplane mechanic shortly after the airplane was developed. He was pretty good at it. He developed actually a special fuel. It was a mixture of gasoline and alcohol and ether that he used to make his airplane engines run smoother. He had this sergeant, though, that liked to, let's say, take credit for his work. And Truman was going to be deployed here shortly, so the sergeant came up to him and demanded the recipe, and, well, he gave him a recipe, not the right recipe. Truman went to the front lines, and that sergeant used that recipe on the captain's car, and the captain's car promptly blew up. On his way to the front lines, Truman was on a ship. I can't remember the name of the ship off the top of my head, but it was the first American troop transport that was torpedoed by the Germans. He was in the water for a while. An Irish ship came and got him, and he eventually got to the front lines, where he used his talents as an airplane mechanic to keep the war fighter going. While he was doing his work, he would occasionally have to take a plane up for a flight and make mechanical adjustments. They didn't give him ammunition. And a German saw him, came by and shot at him. He survived. He didn't get hit. But from that point on, he started carrying a pistol with him because he wanted to be able to fire back at the enemy. He says that he actually hit a couple German planes with that pistol. In 1919, he was honorably discharged. And in 1920, he started working for an inn in Washington. He later would buy the inn and put all of his blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. It was at the foot of Mount St. Helens. He ran that inn for 50-something years. During that time, he had a near-death experience where he was driving down the road. One of his wheels broke. He flipped his car 3 times, and he almost died. He got divorced. He lost 2 more wives after that one. They passed away. His only child died. And then he was beaten up by some kids that were stealing beer from his inn. Truman was quite the character. They say that he had 16 cats, and he loved those cats dearly. And anytime anyone would talk to him, he would bring them up. He was an incredibly stubborn man. His friends and his family called him loud and opinionated. His sister called him passionate. In 1980, when Mount St. Helens first became active, an evacuation order went out to the entire area, and most people left, but Truman didn't. A news anchor came to ask him to leave and to interview him. And Truman said this. He said, "If the mountain goes, I'm going with it. This area is heavily timbered, and Spirit Lake is between me and the mountain, and the mountain is a mile away. And the mountain ain't gonna hurt me." He then said, I don't have any idea whether it will blow, but I don't believe it to be to the point that I am going to pack up and go away. When the mountain did go, Truman was one of the 57 people that died. You know, life has a way of making us stubborn. Truman, he had authority figures betray him. He escaped death multiple times. His family died around him. He had things in his life that were rough, and they made him a stubborn old man. This life can do the same to anyone. It can make us calloused. It can make us fearful. It can make us only trust in ourselves. It can close our minds to any possibility of salvation, to any possibility of heaven. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine." We can let this life make us hard. We can let this life make us stubborn. But if we harden our hearts, it's going to lead us in the wrong direction. If we lean on God, though, if we trust in God, he will make our way straight, and he will bless us because of what we do for him. Now, I'm not saying that stubbornness is completely a bad thing. I'm not saying it's even wrong. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was an incredibly stubborn man, especially towards the later part of his life. In Acts 20, when he calls the Ephesian elders together, he says this, Acts 20, 22 through 24. He says, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem to constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value or as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God." The Holy Spirit was telling Paul that he was going to be constrained, he was going to be imprisoned, he was going to witness bad things when he goes to Jerusalem. In Acts 21 and verse 4, Paul has left the Ephesian elders, he's traveling towards Jerusalem, and he comes along to some disciples that want him to not go. The Holy Spirit has also been telling them, if Paul goes, he's going to go into prison, he's going to be punished. But he decides, no, I'm still going to go. So he goes further in his trip and he gets to Caesarea. He meets Agabus. Agabus takes Paul's belt, binds his own wrists with it, and says that the man that owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem and put in prison. Everybody is upset by this. Everybody starts telling Paul, don't go. But Paul doesn't listen. In Acts 21, 12 through 13, "When we heard this," when they heard Agabus' prophecy, "we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Paul was ready to die for Christ because he wanted to go to those people. To make a long story short, he makes it to Jerusalem. There's a riot. Paul is beaten. Paul's arrested and he's taken into captivity. But he appeals to Caesar. He gets to go and talk to kings because of this. Stubbornness helped Paul in his mission. Acts 9. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And he was converted to Christ by a man named Ananias. Jesus had come to Ananias and told him to go and baptize Paul. Ananias was incredibly afraid of Paul. Paul was going around capturing Christians, taking them to Jerusalem, having them be imprisoned, where they would go on trial and then ultimately die or be imprisoned. Ananias was afraid. But if you look at Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Jesus Christ gave Paul his mission. It was to go to the Gentiles, it was to go to the Jews, but not them only. It was to go to kings. Part of Paul's mission was to be hurt. It was to be, to know what it meant to suffer. So that's what Paul did. He kept going. He didn't let people talk him out of his mission. When he was arrested, he appealed to Caesar. And he got to talk to kings, and he got access to people he would have never gotten access to otherwise. He was an incredibly stubborn person. But that was a good thing. You see, motivation makes these two stubborn men different from each other. Paul's motivation here in Acts 20 and 21, it's pretty obvious. He wanted to spread the gospel. But if you look at Romans 9, starting in verse 1, it says, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit." This is Paul talking. "That I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promise. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen." Paul was not a selfish man. He wished himself cut off from Christ so that he could try to save his people. He wanted to teach them no matter what the cost to himself. He went to Jerusalem because he loved the Jews. He had to take them to the gospel. He had to teach them for their sake. He wanted them to be saved because everything that God had done came from them, and they deserved it. They should have had a part in the salvation that came from Christ. But, well, they were stubborn. A lot like Harry R. Truman. You know, when we read about him, he's a cranky old man. I watched an interview with him. It was about a year before the Mount St. Helens event. He was a grumpy old man living in fear. He was constantly worried about his inn being taken away. He was worried about the sign in front of his building being taken away, being changed. He was constantly grumpy, constantly just worried about what people were going to do to him. He was set in his ways. He didn't want to change, and he didn't want to do what people did, what people wanted him to do, because, well, he knew and had an answer for everything. Because he knew better than anyone else out there could ever know. You see, the sad thing is that the very thing that he said wouldn't happen happened. Mount St. Helens blew up, And it didn't just take a mile. It took about 20 miles worth of forest. And the man died. You know, both Paul and Truman, they went through a lot of stuff. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, it says, "Are there servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, and 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. One on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." You know, both of these men, they had hard lives. They'd both been shipwrecked. They both had multiple attempts on their life. Both had been treated poorly by authority figures. Both had been beaten up. Truman let life make him fearful, make him grumpy, make it so that he wouldn't listen to anyone. Life was rough for Paul. But it didn't change him like that. It made him better. He let God use him, and God made him a great man. So, where will your stubbornness lead you? Truman got a warning a couple months before the volcano exploded and he died. Reporters begged him to leave. Authorities begged him to leave. His loved ones begged him to leave. You know, there was people that heard his story and they turned him into a folk hero. Children started writing poems about him. They sang songs about him. He received marriage proposals. The world is going to sometimes want to hold you where you're at. It's going to want to encourage you to make the wrong decision. Ultimately, though, on May 18th, 1980, when the mountain blew up, the marriage proposals stopped coming, the children stopped reading their poems, and Truman died. Here's the thing. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8, it says, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." Folks, this is our warning. This is the volcano that is about to go off in our lives. This is Paul telling the Thessalonians, you got to get your stuff together if you want to make yourselves right. What are we going to do with that warning? Are we going to listen to it? There's 2 things we have to know. We have to know who God is, and we have to obey his gospel. In John 10 and verse 30, it says, "I and my Father are one." God is Jesus. Jesus is God. They are one in purpose. When Jesus came to this world, he came to die for us. He was crucified because the people around him were stubborn and resentful and hate-filled and fearful. But then he was buried and he raised on the 3rd day in order to give those same people, people like me and you, salvation. He had to pay a price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. That is who Christ was. That is who God is. And that is what he did for us. Romans 6, starting in verse 3, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We obey the gospel by imitating the gospel. When we are baptized, we die to this old man of sin, like Christ died for us on the cross. We go down to the water just like Christ was laid to rest in that tomb. And when we come up out of the water, we come up as a new creature, like Christ came out of that tomb, a new creature. You know, there is a judgment coming. How will you be judged? If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you've been stubborn, stuck in this world, stuck in fear, we can help you with that. If you need to be baptized, if you need to emulate that gospel that Christ came, died, resurrected, we can help you with that. There's water ready. So if you need prayers or if you need to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing.